Amen. Glorious day. We serve a great God, don't we? We've got so much to be thankful for, so much to be excited about as Christians. No matter what this life throws at us, no matter how difficult things become, we have a lot to praise God about. We've got a lot to be excited about. I'm telling you, I am so full this morning. Not just from being able to sing these songs, not just being able to be together with you, but conversations I've already had today at how God's at work and the excitement about what God's doing. And man, I'm telling you, we are on the cusp of some great things if we'll just keep pursuing the Lord. If we will just surrender our hearts and our lives and let go of ourselves and cling to Him, God's got some good stuff in store. If you have your Bibles, if you will, turn to Matthew chapter 6. We're in this study or series of Lord Teach Us to Pray. We all struggle from time to time with praying enough, being in fellowship with God enough, sitting at His feet and listening from Him enough, taking our concerns and our worries to Him enough and leaving them there. Jesus is starting His ministry. It's actually beginning to gather ground in chapter 5 and 6 of Matthew. And people are starting to follow Him. He's already got all His disciples with Him. And there's this great multitude of people gathering around to Him and coming out to Him to see Him heal the sick, cause the lame to walk, the deaf to hear, and just do miracle after miracle to attest to the fact that He is the Son of God. But people are coming to see all these things, and people are saying, man, I want to get in on this good stuff. I want to get in on all this healing and all the benefits and all the great things that God's doing through this Jesus, this new teacher, this new prophet. And when the crowds start growing and people start getting excited, Jesus tends to set them down and say, look, following me is different than what you think. If you ever noticed when Jesus teaches and preaches His hardest sermons, His most difficult principles, the dying to yourself, giving up all of your own possessions, all of those happened when the crowds were the biggest. See, Jesus didn't want the people that were gathering around Him to think wrong things, that, hey, following me is going to be easy. Getting on this kingdom bandwagon is going to be a bed of roses and something that just is going to make your life perfect. He said, no, if you're going to follow me, it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you everything. And it starts with yourself. See, we've done a very poor job of teaching that in church nowadays. We haven't watered down the gospel. We've watered down the requirements for discipleship. Jesus is the only way. We preach that all the time, that there is no other way to be saved but through Jesus Christ. He is the door. He is the gate to the narrow road. We teach that, we preach that, but we forget to tell people to enter that gate, to enter that kingdom, you've got to be willing to die. You've got to be willing to give up everything. You've got to be willing to give up your own comfort, your own desires, your own plans for your life. You've got to surrender your all to Jesus. We've done a very poor job of that. We've made it, if you'll just come and say a prayer and get dunked under the water, then you're in like Flynn. Just sit down and wait till Jesus comes back. And that is so, so wrong. We've done such a disservice to the kingdom of God. And we have created a church culture that's all about me. It's all about what I like. It's all about what I want. It's all about what are they going to do for me? Rather than, God, what do you want me to do for you today? What do you want me to do for somebody else today? God, what do you want to teach someone through me today? Well, this is one of those times in Jesus' ministry as it's beginning to kick off and beginning to flourish and the crowds are getting big. He sits down with the disciples in chapter 5 and goes through this cost of discipleship and what it means to be a disciple and goes through that list of beatitudes. These are the attitudes of a true disciple: meekness, humility, forgiveness, all those things that go against everything in our nature. Then in chapter 6, he begins talking about how to move from a self-centered life to a God-centered life. Look, you can't experience the blessings of God. You can't experience the presence of God until you make God the center and the focus of your life. But when we do, oh my goodness, God is faithful, God is good, and God's Word is powerful and mighty, and His Holy Spirit is ever present, and He will do what He says He'll do. Well, as he's starting off this section of this Sermon on the Mount about changing your life from self-centered to God-centered, he says, look, when you start to pray, first of all, you've got to understand your relationship with God is not about you. It's not about your reputation. It's not about your standing in the world. It's about God's glory. He said, when you pray, don't do like the hypocrites do and go and stand on the street corner. Pray real loud and beautiful prayers so everybody will think and know how spiritual you are. He said, it's not about your reputation in the community. This church is not about your reputation in the community. Coming here on Sundays is not about your reputation in the community. But it's such a temptation. All you got to do is just pay attention around election day. All you got to do is sit in a funeral home or read the obituaries. People that hadn't darkened the door of a church building and haven't been involved in kingdom work for years and years and years, one of the first things that's touted on their obituary, they're a member of so-and-so church. Want their reputation to be good even in death, but yet haven't done a single thing for God or His kingdom in the years that they were alive. Even in death, we're self-centered. Jesus said, it's not about your reputation. It's not about your standing in the community. It's about your life glorifying God. He said, the reason you pray is so that God can be glorified in you and through you. Then he says, it's not about bending God's will to your pleasure. Going to God and saying, God, this is what I want. This is what I want. This is what I want. God, fix my problems. Make my life comfortable. He said, it's not about you bending God's will to your will, but surrendering your will to Him. Letting Him change your life to match His agenda. Then he says in verse 9, and we're going to pick up there. We started there, and he says, look, when you pray, since it's not about you, it's about God. When you pray, these are the things you need to pray about. And if you will, stand with me as we read or recite this model prayer, what we often call the Lord's Prayer. You probably don't even need your Bible for it. But this is the way Jesus said, this is how you should pray. These should be the desires of your heart so that your life will begin to look less about you and be more about God. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Lord God, we do come to you this morning in reciting this passage. God, most of us know it from memory. And most of the time when we pray it, it's just simply from memory. But God, as we meet together this morning and as we begin to dissect it, begin to look at it, what you were really teaching us, God, I pray that now, from this day forward, that we would begin to have a fuller understanding of what we're asking for. And that, God, this prayer would be a model for our lives. And Lord, our desire would be to be less self-centered, more God-centered in everything that we do, everything that we think about, every conversation we have, every trouble we face, so that your kingdom will be advanced and your glory will be shown. Lord, change us today. Open our hearts and our minds. Give us ears to hear and hearts to obey so that we'll leave this place different. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. this model prayer is something that if you ever played sports, I mean, we recited, even when I was coaching, I mean, we'd sit down before a game, we'd all kneel together, and we'd recite the Lord's Prayer. And if you're in Little League and you're one of those coaches and you want to be a Christian influence, one of the things you make sure you do is you recite the Lord's Prayer. And it's something that we know, and even people outside the church that aren't even involved in church know the Lord's Prayer by heart. But do we really know what we're praying? Do we really know what it means? First of all, it's a prayer that's filled with requests. If you look at this, in most translations, when you read it, in the English translation or when it's translated to English, it's usually put in the form of statements. You see statements. Even when we said it, we said in the form of statements. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. It's a statement of fact. It's what we look at it most time, and it's the way we read it. But in the Greek language, in the sentence structure, it's not statements of fact at all. These are six petitions that make up this prayer, six requests. So literally it should read, and we should say it, Our Father who is in heaven, let your name be hallowed. Let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Lord, forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And please do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. These are requests. These are things that we should be pursuing. As Jesus said, okay, if you're going to be my disciple, and if you're going to experience this blessings that I'm listed out here in the Beatitudes, if you're going to have your life change and match up being salt and light, if you're going to be usable for the kingdom, if you're going to be a disciple of mine, then the desire of your heart has got to be God-centered rather than self-centered. This whole relationship that I'm trying to start with you as disciples is all about God and not about you. And church, I'm here to tell you today, your relationship with God through Jesus Christ is all about God, not about you. The focus of your heart, the focus of your desire, the focus of your life should be on God rather than on yourself. Now, in that's the most difficult transition to make. That's that most difficult transformation in the way we think, because it goes against everything that we are, everything that we've been taught, every ounce of our human nature. But Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes, you'll receive power and be my witnesses. The Holy Spirit of God changes us and transforms us. So we're going to look at these six petitions, and today we're going to look at the first petition, the first request that Jesus says, this is how you should pray. When you pray, pray like this. Let your name be hallowed. Now, what does the term hallowed mean? It's not a word that we use anymore. What does hallowed mean? Honored. Holy. To make holy. To be set apart. So the first thing that we should ask when we're praying, Lord, let your name be holy. Let your name be sanctified or set apart. Sanctified is another one of those church words. It just simply means set apart for the purposes of God. To be different. To be unlike everything else. Now, why would Jesus say, ask these things. Ask that God's name would be holy when it's already holy. I mean, we look all through Scripture, and you can't go very far in the Psalms to not hear about the holiness of God, and that God's name is holy and His actions are holy, that He is holy. I am a holy God. So why would Jesus say to His disciples, you need to ask that God's name be made holy when it's already holy? You ever thought about that? This means yes, this means no. This means not really. It's the first time I've ever really looked at it that way. See, I can't make God any holier than He is. He is holy. He's perfect. His name is holy. His actions are holy. His thoughts are holy. Everything that he does, says, is holy. So I can't make him any holier than he is. God can't even make himself any holier than he is. He can't make his name any holier than it is because it's already perfect. It's without blemish. His character is perfect. So why would Jesus say, you need to ask God to make his name holy, separate, different? See, I can't make God's name holy. God can't make his name holy, but I can acknowledge his holiness. See, when Jesus says, when you pray, pray like this. Let your name be holy. Basically, he's saying you need to pray for, you need to pursue two things. First of all, God, make your name holy to me. Make your name separate to me. It's one of the big ten. From the Ten Commandments. Don't take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Now, most of the time we think of taking the Lord's name in vain, we think of the curse words. Don't add God to a curse word. And that's what we often think about taking the Lord's name in vain, and that is so, so superficial. That is so such a small portion of what that commandment means. So many of us take God's name in vain all the time. It goes more to that. It says, look, don't call yourself a child of God and act like a son of Satan. Don't come to church every time the doors is open and then leave out of here and treat everybody else like the world treats them. Don't call yourself a Christian or a son or a daughter of God and your life look nothing like him. See, we take God's name in vain all the time. We call ourselves Christian and then we fly off at the handle at the drop of the hat. We call ourselves a Christian and we see somebody in need and we just, oh, I'll pray for you, brother, and go on and forget about them. We call ourselves a Christian and we refuse to forgive as God has forgiven us. We call ourselves a Christian and we look down on others who aren't as righteous and as holy as I am. Well, if you would just do like I do, talk like I talk, think like I think, God will be proud of you because I'm the man. We judge people. We condemn them. We think they're not worth our time. They're not worth our effort. And they're most certainly not worth the gospel. That's what judging means, to condemn them, to refuse to show the love of God to them, to refuse to share the gospel with them because they don't deserve it. You're condemning them to hell. That's what it means to judge. It's not looking at their fruit and saying, look, hey, brother, we all struggle. I'm struggling with some things, but I want to tell you, God's got more for you than you're experiencing. If you'll just surrender your heart and your life to him, if you'll just turn your life over to him, he can change your heart. He can change your habits. He can change your desires. Living the way you're living, you know it's just bringing misery. That's not judging them. That's loving them. Judging them is saying, oh, they're too far gone. I ain't going to take the time. See, when Jesus told his disciples, you ask, you pray, you beg the Father to make his name holy to you, so that as you spend time in the Word, as you spend time in prayer, as you walk through life and you begin to see and to understand, God begins to reveal himself to you as he really is, and you begin to understand more and more about his faithfulness, more and more about his grace, more and more about his forgiveness. And as you begin to understand him more, you begin to love him more. You begin to be so thankful for this grace, this blood that we sang about that washes away our sins, the blood that's the only hope we have, this gift of grace that he's given us, and we have a whole different attitude, a whole different perspective on life. He said, look, you pray that God will reveal himself to you more than you know him now. You pray that God will reveal the truth about who he is. I've been reading a book lately by one of my favorite pastors. And his name's Tony Evans. Wonderful black pastor that just, man, God has anointed him to preach and to write some awesome stuff. And I've been reading one of his books called The Power in the Names of God. And he says that God reveals himself to us in Scripture through the names that he identifies himself as. And that when we begin to understand the names of God, we begin to understand the character of God. Because remember in Old Testament times, we've talked about this before, and not so much now, the name of a person represented his character. And that oftentimes a kid would get a name when he was born, but then when he's a teenager and his character begins to show up, begins to develop, and it doesn't match his name, they don't try and so much to change his character, they change his name. Because the name identifies his character. Well, it's the same thing with God. When God reveals his names in Scripture, he's revealing a truth about his character. And I just want to kind of go through a list of some names that God has, how he has revealed himself to us in Scripture. The first one is Elohim. This is the strong creator God. He reveals himself in Genesis as Elohim, the creator, Jehovah, the relational God, the God who can be known. We're in relationship with God. He is our Jehovah. He is the one who knows us. He's our Father, Adonai, the God who rules. He is an absolute authority. He is Adonai. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord, our provider. He reveals himself as Jehovah Tsabaoth, the Lord, our warrior. Remember the passage, the battle is not yours, but the Lord's. He is our warrior. He says, Jesus tells, look, don't repay evil for evil, but good for evil. And give God room. I will take vengeance, saith the Lord. He is our warrior. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is peace. Jehovah Rohi, the Lord my shepherd. Jehovah Nisi, the Lord my banner. Jehovah Mekodishkim, the Lord who sanctifies us and sets us apart. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. Jehovah Tzitkenu, the Lord our righteousness. El Elyon, the Most High God. El Shaddai, Lord God Almighty. And then the name that we most all know, Emmanuel, Jesus, God with us. See, as we begin to pray, and if we're going to move from being self-centered to God-centered, if we're going to experience the life to the full that Jesus said he came to bring to us, he says, look, you've got to surrender your heart and your life. You've got to begin to pray, and your prayer should be focused on, God, let me know you more. Reveal yourself to me. Let your name be hallowed in me. Let it be holy in me. Let me understand how radically different you are from anybody else or any other thing that I know. Let me know your glory more. Let me understand your faithfulness more. Let me know your healing when I need healing. God, let me know your might when I need your might. God, whatever my situation, whatever my struggle, God, reveal yourself to me in ways that I've never known you before. But here again, most of the time when we pray, we just simply pray, God, this is my problem, fix it. God, this is my struggle, make it easier. God, this is my problem, deal with it. Jesus says, no. When you come before the Lord, when you begin to pray, you say, God, this is my struggle. Show me yourself in it. God, this is my problem. Let me experience your might like I've never experienced it before. God, this is my hurt. God, show me your healing power. See, Jesus says, look, if you're going to be a disciple of God, if you're going to be a follower of me, he says, look, you've got to pray and ask God to show himself as different, as sanctified, as holy, as set apart in your life. The second thing that that means is, God, let your holiness not just be known to me. Don't just let me understand your holiness better. God, let your holiness be seen through me. All throughout history, since the fall of man till now, when God moves in the life of a follower, or God moves in the nation of Israel, when God intervenes in the history of man, it was not so much just for the people or the person that he was moving in and intervening in. He intervenes in the lives of people so that his power, his character, his holiness can be demonstrated around the world, can be demonstrated to those that are watching on. If you read through Exodus and you look at where God begins to bring the people out of Egypt, I want to encourage you to go back there and begin to read, but be very conscious of why God says he's doing what he's doing. He says, I'm going to bring you out, and I'm going to give you a land that's flowing with milk and honey. I'm going to give you a land that's occupied by other people, but I'm doing it so that you and that Pharaoh and all of the nations will know I am the Lord God. He was acting on their behalf. He intervened in their situation, not just for them and not mainly for them. It was so that other people would see the holiness of the God of Israel. You look all through Scripture, it's the same way. The same scenario, the same reason that God says he's going to do this or he's going to do that. It's not just for the individual or the nation. It's for the world to see. It's for others to see. It's for the non-believers to experience God's character through the people he's working in. So as we pray, and Jesus says, pray, let your name be hallowed in me. Let your name be holy. It's not just set your name apart and let me understand more about you, but the more I understand about you and I begin to live in faith because I know more about you and understand more about you, and your character begins to transform my character, and now people begin to see your faithfulness through my faithfulness. People begin to see your grace by the grace I share with them. They begin to see your forgiveness by the way in which I forgive. See, when Jesus says, pray and ask that God would let his name be holy, is so that you can be changed and so that the world can see the change, so that the world can see that God is real, that this book is more than just a book. It's God's revelation of himself to mankind, that God is not just a myth and sitting out there somewhere or unconcerned about his creation. He is real and he's involved and he makes a difference in the lives of people who surrender to him. But see, for too long the church has given up on the power of God. We want God to make our lives better, but we really don't care about letting other people know the difference. Or either we claim something and live differently, and we're just a bunch of hypocrites. The saddest testament to the world is someone who claims to be a Christian, but there's no difference in their life. We, unfortunately, the church, is the worst advertisement for God there is. Unfortunately, we have made our relationship with God all about us rather than all about him. And Jesus says, if you want to experience the full life, if you want to experience everything God has for you, then surrender your heart to him. Begin to pray and begin to ask, God, reveal yourself to me in a way that I've never seen before. God, this is my struggle. This is my problem. This is my hurt. This is what I'm going through. God, I understand it. I don't like it. And God, you know what's happening better than I do. But God, in the middle of it, Lord, show yourself to me. Let me experience you in the middle of this struggle, in the middle of this problem, in the middle of this hurt. Let me experience your peace. Let me experience your power. Let me experience your healing. Whatever it is, God, that you want to reveal to me in this struggle, in this trial. Lord, I want to hear it. I want to see it. I want to know it. Jesus says that's how we should pray. And then when we begin to pray that and God begins to reveal himself to us and we begin to understand his character more, it begins to change our heart and our outlook. Now when somebody else is going through something similar, we can honestly walk up to them, put our arm around them, and love on them. Share what God has done for you in the middle of your struggle. Share how God has revealed himself to you in the middle of your struggle. Share with them the difference that God makes, and they begin to see and look back over your life and say, hey, I can see the difference. I can see where God's been at work, and what you're saying and how you've been living is matching up. And I want to give this God a try. If we want to experience all that God has for us, let's pray. Lord, our Father, the one who loves me, the one who created me, the one who intimately knows me, who art in heaven, who is perfect, who dwells in perfection, and who acts in perfection, Lord, let your name be holy in me. And then, God, let your name be holy through me. Lord, help me not take your name in vain. Help me not be a hypocrite, but God, change my heart, change my actions. And in the middle of whatever it is I'm going through, God, make a difference. Teach me, show me, and then use me for your glory. As I was thinking about, so what does it matter? What do you do next? What does this mean for us today? Well, I begin to visit more and more people and try and get out and talk with more and more folks in our congregation and visiting with folks in the community and people that I run into. And I'm beginning to understand, hey, this church isn't much different from the church I was at before. There's a lot of hurting people. A lot of people going through a lot of stuff. A lot of people got questions and wondering, what does it mean to be a Christian? What does it look like? Well, I want to encourage you. Whatever you're going through, whatever your question is, whatever your circumstances are, instead of praying, Lord, get me out of this, or God, fix this, God, make this go away, instead of praying, God, make my life more comfortable, I want to challenge you to pray more like this. And maybe today would be a good day to start. God, in the middle of this circumstance, problem, difficulty, heartache, hurt, reveal yourself to me. Help me to know more about you. Help me know you as the God who rules. Help me know you as the provider. Because God, I don't understand. I don't see how it's going to work out. God, help me know you as my warrior, because the enemy's too strong for me. The circumstances are too difficult for me. God, I'm tired. And I just need you to take the fight and fight for me. Maybe you need to pray, God, let me know you as the Lord of peace. Because right now I'm worried, I'm struggling, I'm hurting. And I just need peace in my heart. I'm dealing with things that are just beginning to overwhelm me. And God, I need to know you as peace. God, reveal yourself as the Lord of peace. Maybe you need to ask that God would show Himself to you as the Lord, your shepherd. You've got some decisions to make and directions to go and things to do, and you just don't know what needs to happen or where you need to go or what decision you need to make. You just need a shepherd right now to lead the way. Maybe you need to pray, Lord, be my banner. Lord, I want you to be the identifying character in me. I want everybody that when they see me, they know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I'm a child of God, not just in word, but by the way I live. Lord, be my banner. Lord, reveal yourself, the holiness of your name. Lord, show yourself as the Lord who sanctifies. Right now, I don't feel very sanctified. God, I've been living outside your will, and I've been doing some things I know I shouldn't do. And I need your forgiveness. I need to be cleansed again. I need the washing of your blood. I need to be sanctified more. Maybe you need to pray, Lord, I'm hurting. I'm brokenhearted. I need you to reveal yourself as the Lord who heals. Heal my broken heart. Heal my broken family. Heal my broken relationships. God, reveal yourself to me as the healer. Maybe you need to pray, Lord, show yourself as my righteousness. Change my heart. Lord, I've been struggling with this attitude or this habit or these things that's been going on and that I've been involved in. God, I need you to be my righteousness. Reveal yourself as my righteousness. I want you to live through me. I want you to change my heart, oh God. Maybe you need to pray and ask God that He would show Himself as the Most High God, the one who is in authority over everything else, that the problems, the struggles, the bosses, the people that are against you are trying to take authority over you and bend you to their will and their way of thinking. Maybe it's a professor at college. God, I need you to be God Most High today. I need you to show yourself as stronger, as mightier, as more authority than the people that are over me now. Maybe you just need to see and ask God to show Himself as the Lord God Almighty. Maybe you just need to, as the psalmist says, be still and know that He's God and rest in His righteousness and His power. Maybe you're going through some things or maybe you're experiencing some troubles and you need to just pray, God, I need to know you're here with me. Maybe you're feeling like you're out there and God's not anywhere around and you try to pray but your prayers never get past the ceiling and you really just, you feel like you've been abandoned by God. I've been there. Maybe your prayer today needs to be, God, I need you to show me and reveal yourself to me as the very present God, the one who is with me, that I have not been abandoned, I have not been left, I have not been forgotten, that you still know and you still care. And maybe your life's going really well right now. Maybe you need to be praying, God, let your name be holy through me. God, who is it that I can speak some encouragement to today? God, who is it that I can introduce to you today? God, who is it that's struggling? And I can bring your grace. I can bring your hope. I can bring your forgiveness. I can, whatever it is, God, use me today to make your name holy to somebody else. To let them see the difference you make. When you pray, pray like this. Our Father who's in heaven, let your name be holy today. Maybe you're here and you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. I want you to hear today, God loves you. Jesus came to die for you. He is real. God is real. And He wants you to experience life in a way you could never experience it without Him. He wants to bless you. He wants to use you. He wants to give to you, not take away from you. He wants you, as Jesus said, He has come to give you life and give it to the full. Surrender your heart to Him today. Accept His gift of forgiveness and salvation. Accept the Holy Spirit into your life to live in His power and His presence and experience life like you couldn't outside of Him. Maybe you've been saved for years and you just need to begin to pray a little different. Well, your prayers aren't all about you. It's about God revealing Himself to you and you revealing God to others. Whatever it is, you do business with the Lord. Let's stand. We're going to pray. Then we're going to have a time of what we call invitation, but it's just a time where we set aside for you to do business with the Lord. If you want to come down to the altar and pray, they'll be open. If you want to come down and take me by the hand and say, Brother Neil, I want you to pray for me. Pray with me about this. If you need to go to somebody else you know here and ask them to begin to pray with you, and you guys pray together. But let's do business with God in these next few minutes as we surrender to what He says. Lord God, we thank You so much for Your love and Your mercy. Thank You for the opportunity we have to know You. To know You in Your holiness. To know You in Your perfection. God, we don't know very much about You now, but God, we want to know more about You. We want to know more about You through the circumstances and the struggles that we're facing. We want to know more about You through Your Word, through our brothers and sisters as we do worship together, do life together. God, reveal Yourself to us in all the many ways that You do it, God. We ask that You'd make Your name holy at Oak Grove Baptist Church. And then God, I pray that You'd make Your name holy through us. God, not only do I know Your presence is here, but God, I feel it. Lord, I know You're moving in the hearts of some people. In the middle of their struggles, God, right now, You want to be their peace. You want to be their warrior. You want to be their hope. You want to be their ever-present help in times of trouble. God, give them the faith to just release and receive.